It is 15 minutes after 8 a.m. on your Wednesday morning, and it's been a hot minute, but one of our wayward guests have, yeah, that mic's being a little goofy lately. It's uncooperative completely. I have, not at all lost in where I was, I have Holmes Fire District 1 Chief Brian Rafferty with me this morning. Good morning. Welcome back.
Good morning.
Our schedules have just not worked out real well lately. You guys have been busy.
Well, October, you know, that's fire prevention week, month, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, it's always, there's always something going on. So tried to make it work the last two Wednesdays, I think, and yeah, just didn't happen. So,
but here we are.
Made it today. Yeah.
Exactly. And so, like you said, you've been busy. How have things been looking since you were last here in September?
Well, I don't have the month's numbers, but I know yesterday we reached 1,100 calls for the year. So, you know, we're on pace for over 1,300 for the year, which is up quite a bit from the last few years. So, yeah, just staying busy and, you know, spend a lot of time, like I said, out doing fire prevention at schools and a few other things and inspections with the new elementary school and new church in town, some other things going on. So busy with inspections and testing, you know, sprinkler system, things like that we all have. We have to go out and during those processes as they do different parts, got to check those. So, yeah, been real busy.
And we've talked a lot. You mentioned that it is, you know, fire prevention week and month and all of that. And we talk about how that prevention can help you guys not be as busy. You have one of those jobs where you don't want to be busy because that means something's wrong and somebody could be hurt or somebody's having a really bad day.
Yeah. So, you know, again, we first want to touch on, you know, we are in the Ohio burn ban is going on right now, October and November. I'm going to, you know, thank goodness for rain. everything is green again. I'm not going to jinx us, but so far so good.
If your walkie goes off while you're here.
definitely a rain every few days keeps that at bay. So, but yeah, we want to remember that, you know, leaves are still seem to be hanging on a little bit in some trees. So
because of the lack of rain earlier.
Yeah. So we haven't seen too many people burning leaves yet. So just keep that in mind. You know, it's 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Every day of the week, October, November. You know, the big thing is just if it's been dry, it's windy, you know, just using some common sense of what we're doing and where we're doing it at. You know, we're not burning pile of leaves next to the woods that's full of dry leaves as well, or a field.
Or so, your barn. Yeah,
those things too. just, you know, we want to use some common sense with that. We're not out on patrol looking for people burning, but, you know, and some things to keep in mind. If the smoke is going into somebody else's home and causing respiratory issues, we're going to probably get called out. And it's also that smoke is going across the road and causing, you know, an obstruction in the roadway or you can't see through. We're going to be coming out and putting that fire out as well. So just keeping that in mind. And hopefully we don't have any issues.
This week is not going to be a good week to even consider it. We got a lot of wind this week.
Yeah, it's these windy days. And even with a rain last night, we get a couple windy days. It does not take long for stuff to dry out and
we've been so dry.
Yeah. It does not take much to have an issue. So just using some common sense. It's all it takes.
Pause. Think.
Yep.
Should I be doing this at this time?
And not leave it. Don't leave it. If you're gonna burn something, just don't leave it. That's a big no-no.
Have an extinguisher handy or a hose or something.
Yep. So and then with Fire Prevention Week was there earlier in the month. We spent a lot of time at the elementary school, going through all the classes. We had the smoke trailer there, fire safety trailer. We did the preschool one day. We were out at Honey Run School. And then, you know, we spent a lot of time with the kids just going over, you know, this year's theme was on battery safety, lithium ion battery. But we always kind of hit on, especially with the younger kids, knowing their address, knowing how to call 911, what kind of information to give. If there is a fire, they see fire, they see smoke, that they're getting out and staying out and practicing that with the family and having a meeting place. So that's that safe place to go that everybody, no matter what door they went out or what window they had to go out, they're all meeting at this certain spot so that everybody can be accounted for. And then knowing when we arrive that, hey, we know everybody's out, everybody's accounted for, and we can, you know, kind of focus our tactics of just putting out the fire. We don't have to worry about doing a rescue. But if people are just kind of, they're not having that meeting place and somebody doesn't know where mom or dad is or one of the children, and so we're going to go into it, you know, like we got to do a rescue. And if they're scattered around or at other neighbors' houses and we don't know where they're at, you know, we're putting a lot of resources looking inside a burning building and they're already out. So we want everybody to meet in one spot and get accounted for. So that's a big thing with the younger kids.
Is it start them early?
Yeah, and it's amazing.
How much it's worked.
Yeah. And that's the thing. The fire department doesn't do a lot of fires. We do a lot of EMS, a lot of, you know, there's crashes, other things like that, but actual burning houses and things like that, that's one of the least amount of things we do, and that is perfectly fine. It's been that fire safety education, prevention, you know, smoke detectors, fire extinguishers, teaching all that stuff that has really cut down on any kind of issue like that.
And you can tell versus like when I was in school, our main focus for fire safety was stop, drop, and roll. That's all you learned.
And you probably thought...
I thought I was going to be on fire far more often than I actually am.
Yes, we don't cover that.
I'm on fire in different ways sometimes, not on actual fire. It's like quicksand. I thought we were going to encounter quicksand far more than we actually were.
Yeah, we don't hit on that quite as much. We talk about it and obviously, you know, burn safety, things like that. But yeah, it's more of that getting out, staying out, and yeah, clothes don't catch on fire like you thought they were going to, so...
Yeah, it's amazing how things have adjusted over a few years. It's only been a few years, right?
Yeah, seems like it. But yeah, you know, and we kind of finished off that week. We had an open house at the station. Had some games there, a little firefighter obstacle course for the kids to do. They got to, you know, use a fire hose. They got to drag a hose dummy and do some rope pulling on a hose roll, so they got to kind of go through a little what we call physical agility test for kids. We had, you know, some cookies and stuff there, other things for fire safety, all the things we hand out at the fair, other events. You know, we were able to get a grant through Holmes Wayne Electric, helps us out the last few years with those type of items. So we, you know, Had them in for a few hours and had a good time and show off the trucks and
maybe like, you know, get a few future firefighters amongst
Definitely. And it, you know, the kid, it's, we've had, you know, we do the smoke detectors. We got calls from parents right after we were at school that, you know, the kids went home, talked about smoke detectors, and you know, we were able to get some smoke detectors in homes that didn't have them after being out of school. So
awesome.
That's the best part out of it there. So, you know, we also had Lieutenant Ryan Peterman has last couple years has done they have a forensic science class out at West Holmes High School. And so he's one of does fire investigation, and he's been out there last couple years and just taught about what goes into doing fire investigation and arson and what we're looking for. And then they kind of finish it up with, they'll build a little cardboard house or popsicle stick house. And we go out there and we light them on fire. And then
we did not have that class when I was in school. I am disappointed.
So they kind of get to watch how the fire, I mean, it's pretty quick. Cardboard doesn't last long, but they can see the fire growth in a house. And then we have our thermal imaging cameras. They can kind of see the heat signature and how the heat rises, and they go through that. So that's been pretty sweet. They can kind of see how that works. And then what we're looking for after the fact to determine the cause and the different things that cause, you know, electrical issues, or if it's arson, You know, were they using some type of accelerant or what? I think just the different patterns we're looking for, or evidence, and how we collect that moving forward through a fire investigation. So it's seems like a pretty neat class.
It sounds pretty cool from here. Yeah. Like,
and that's just a small part of it. You know, I'm sure they do. I don't know what all else they do, but if the fire investigation part of it is just a few weeks of it, that, you know, I'm sure it's pretty interesting.
Awesome sauce. And one of the things that I thought might be good to mention, along with fire prevention, as we start heading into these cooler months, get your chimneys checked.
Yeah, that's definitely, you know, winter months we're checking your carbon monoxide detector. If you don't have one, get one. That's the big issue when everything's closed up in the house and you're using a furnace or heating. That's when we have the most CO calls for carbon monoxide. So make sure you check your batteries for that. If CO detectors, a smoke detector you get 8 to 10 years out of. CO detectors about 5 to 7. Obviously, any of those can fail within a couple years or they can last longer. But generally, 5 to 7 years on a carbon monoxide detector. So you want to check those batteries. And when you're placing those, I always just say put it in the air that you live in. So it's that 3 to 6 feet range, the air that you're living in, breathing, it doesn't rise, it doesn't fall, so it just mixes pretty much with the air. So put it where you're at, put it where you're at the level you're sleeping. You know, there's no trick in where you mount that, just put it in the air that you're living in. And you know, like you said, chimneys are going to be a big thing. Make sure you're burning good dry wood. Clean that out often. If it's been a while since you've had it cleaned or inspected, may want to get that done now and not wait till
it's time to turn it on.
Yeah, like everybody, when everybody else, you know, same with your furnace, getting those ready to go. Check them out now that they work. We just turned the one on at the station yesterday morning, and you get all that dust that burns off and the awful smell.
That furnace on smell.
Yeah, it's terrible.
It's very distinct.
So, you know, do that now, get it checked and make sure everything's running good. And then same with, you know, we're talking about Christmas here soon. So we got, you know, think about extension cords and all that. You know, you want to make sure you're using good ones and they're temporary and you unplug them when you're not at home. And yeah, it's that time.
I sigh, but I'll be decorating for Christmas as soon as we get into November because we have Share a Christmas. So yep. I have to be ready sooner. So
it is that
my
time.
Halloween village will have to be deconstructed.
Yeah, it's pretty extensive out there.
It is. I am proud of myself. Well, we're going to take a little break here. We'll be back with more from Chief Brian Rafferty from the Holmes Fire District 1 on WKLM. We're back here in the second half of your 8 a.m. hour. I am with Chief Brian Rafferty from Holmes Fire District 1, and we've been chatting fire safety and all that fun stuff. And you had mentioned lithium-ion batteries previously.
Yeah, so that was the theme for this year, Fire Safety Week, charge into fire safety. You know, the lithium-ion batteries, you just think about how many you have. If you really stop and think how many are around you all the time, you know, they're everywhere. And it's starting to become an issue. Obviously, we've seen it with vehicles, electric vehicles, and when those catch on fire, they're difficult to put out. Water just doesn't put them out. So it's taking, you know, we're looking into additives to put into the water that, you know, help with the water working better in these fires. You talk about there's blankets that cover the vehicles. You know, there's places where they're bringing in like roll-off dumpsters and putting these vehicles in full of water, and they keep burning even underwater. So
that's a special kind of fire.
Yeah. So it's definitely becoming a challenge for fire departments. You know, we haven't seen much as far as vehicles. You know, I was looking back for this year so far, we've had two incidents that involved batteries or, you know, electronic devices. You know, we had a cell phone being charged on a bed that overheated and started to burn the mattress. Fortunately, you know, it was caught right away and mattress was taken outside. But that's where, you know, we run into a lot. Kids will put it under their pillow, under the blankets, and it's charging, and that's already producing heat while it's charging, and then you, you know, put it under a blanket, put it under a pillow. Now all that heat is staying in there, and it's overheating and catching fire. So that is definitely something to talk to kids about, where they're charging it, that you want it on a hard surface that's out in the open air, keeps it cool. Using chargers that cords that came with it or are made for that type of device, that phone, that iPad, whatever it is. And, you know, just if you leave it, unplug it, just like we talk about extension cords, everything else. Same with charging any type of device. Even my, you know, power tool batteries, I don't, they're charged. If I'm not home, I want to take them off and not leave them on a charger. You know, most of these chargers are, I'm doing air quotes, smart chargers that are supposed to stop charging once they're full, but, you know, those fail. They're all
survey says that's not true.
Right. So just keeping that in mind, you know, another incident we had this year was some power tool batteries in a vehicle during the summer. Vehicle got hot. It appeared that the fire started at these batteries. They were under the, I believe under the seat, obviously caught the foam of the seat on fire. And this vehicle caught on fire and burned up. So, you know, we see a lot of those, the power tool batteries, they get thrown around.
They have a rough life.
Yes. And that they're built a lot tougher than some other things, but that's the issue we see is when they get damaged, punctured in some way, you want those out. I had a GoPro battery that my dog got a hold of, and he got a couple bites into it. And once I got it from him, that thing had swelled up and was almost too hot to hold.
Oh,
and
my.
So that thing went out into the front yard immediately, and I just let it set out there till it had cooled off. But it's that damage to those batteries, if they take some type of hit or a puncture, that once they start overheating, it just runs away, and they can start throwing sparks and flames, and it can be pretty spectacular if you've ever seen them on video or anything like that. So, you know, making sure that any product, batteries or UL listed, they meet a standard. We're not buying some
subpar
fake DeWalt or Milwaukee batteries off Temu that are, you know, half. I know they're expensive, but you know, those are they're not built for the tool. They don't charge the same. We want good certified products. And then obviously, you know, like we talked charging, we're using the same cables, same chargers that they come with. And if you have to get a new one, we're paying a little bit more for that good quality cord or charger. And then if you're charging it or a device starts giving off an odor, changes color, starts getting hot when it shouldn't, popping noises, that's when those lithium ions that you start hearing them popping, that's when something's going to probably change real quick. So
pop that right out of your house.
Yes, get it away from you, out of the house. If it changes color, shape, like I said, that GoPro battery starts swelling up, and that's when you want to get it away from you, get it out, and call 911. We'll come out, check it out, make sure. We do have devices for these smaller batteries. It's a metal bucket with these type of polymer beads that it has to go into, and then you cover it with these beads, and it kind of congeals around it, and supposedly,
science.
Yeah, does some magical things and apparently puts it out, and then we can send that off to, you know, as a hazardous material is what it is, and we can send that whole contained bucket and to somebody else that gets paid a lot more, and they can take care of it. And
it's their problem now.
Yes. So don't ever hesitate to call if anything's going on with those. And then recycling them. They shouldn't go into the trash because that's where they get punctured, they get smashed, and then
it can be dangerous for the people working at the trash facilities.
Yeah, there's lots of videos of garbage trucks on fire, and it's usually something that's in there that gets damaged and now is setting all the garbage on fire, and then they got to dump it out into the street to get it out of the truck, and that's a mess. So There is a calltorecycle.org to find a places. I looked it up. The only places around here so that appear are like Lowe's and Home Depot's. And I looked into a little more. There are some specifics to them, but they take most cell phones, small batteries like that, and your power tool kind of batteries. You know, I don't know about e-bike batteries. I know there was something with more of the higher charge batteries that you have to look into a little bit more, but your basic cell phones and electronics like that and the power tools, they will take those. So, yeah, that's a kind of a new, not new, but it's
a much emerging more, popular.
More and more, and is going to be, I think, an issue as, you know, we have all these devices and everything's getting older, and then we just kind of forget about it. You know, like I said, with those batteries in that truck, you know, big thing with your cell phones is charging them, leaving them in there, leaving them up on the dash in the hot summer months, and those things heat up and overheat, and you have a problem.
I had one that would overheat while talking, and I called Verizon right away. I'm like, no, this is not acceptable. Yeah. I can't even let it be near my face. It's so hot.
Yeah, that's an issue, and you got to get it replaced, and, you know.
That was years ago. That's probably 10 years ago. So they were just fresh in problems back then.
Yeah.
And you got...
Yeah, I guess we'll fall. We're almost done.
Yeah.
Time. So
yeah, I have to hit sports here shortly, so let's...
So we do have a renewal levy on this fall, November. I just wanted to just touch on that a little bit, what it is. It is a renewal levy. It's not a new one. A 1.5 mil. That does not mean we get $1.5 million. When it's renewed, will generate about $350,000 for the fire department. And that's what pays our utilities. That's what buys our fuel. That's what buys, you know, the turnout gear, our air packs, all our tools. And that's what we use to replace vehicles. So, you know, just 2 years ago, we replaced an ambulance. That was 320 some thousand. So that tells you there that what that money goes to, you know, we're generally putting some of that aside every so often to be able to purchase the next vehicle. We have a tanker truck getting built right now. That's what hauls water to a fire. We ordered that in 2023. We'll hopefully get it next spring. And that's just under $600,000 for that truck. So that's putting this levy money is what we use to our everyday operations, plus putting away for these vehicle purchases to keep, you know, to be able to provide the service that we do. So it's, you know, according to the levy language here, that amounts to $28 for each $100,000 of value for a home, for a property. And this is every 5 years. So we're just, you know, would appreciate, you know, the support for that. I know we have a renewal levy on, and I know from what I looked up, Kilbuck Township Fire and Richland Township Fire also have their renewal levies up this year as well. And they're the same as us. They look for these to
operate,
just the everyday things. And I know that's, the property tax is an issue, and there needs to be work done on it. But this is what keeps us going, keeps the lights on, keeps the trucks rolling, and gets that ambulance to you when you need it. So we just appreciate the support for that and consideration.
All right. Well, we'll be back with hometown sports here in just a hair of a moment, and then we'll wrap up with Chief Rafferty here on WKLM. And just a last couple minutes here to wrap up with Chief Brian Rafferty from Holmes Fire District 1. And we always usually kind of wrap up on just a summary and events coming up.
Yeah, so Winesburg Fire Department Auxiliary is having a pancake breakfast Saturday, November 1st. November, holy cow.
Right, next weekend.
Yeah. That's 6 a.m. to 11 at the Winesburg Fire Station. That's by donation. And then we will be at West Holmes High School for Trick or Treat. That is October 27th at 6 p.m. I think it's down there on the track. So we'll be down there handing out candy. And, you know, with, you know, Trick or Treat season now, it's, you know, just using some caution in all the neighborhoods. And making sure you're seen, and if you're a driver, making sure you're paying attention, or just avoid the area altogether and be safe out there.
Make sure you can breathe in your costume.
Yeah, that's always good.
And be careful where you put your makeup.
Yep.
Don't ingest things that look sketchy.
Yep.
And that was another, back when we were kids, razor blades in our candy. Yeah. I just watched a reel on that the other day. Like, people would take their candy to the hospitals to have them x-rayed because they were worried about razor blades in the candy.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is that still a thing?
I couldn't.
No wonder we are a paranoid generation. Yes,
no kidding.
Being on fire, quicksand, razor blades. But in all honesty, check your candy.
Yeah.
And, you know, look at the ingredients if you have allergies. That way you don't have to call the squad. And
yeah, I mean, if you're allergic to Reese's peanut butter cups, we'll take them at the fire station. That's fine. We'll take those.
They are the Reese's Recycling Center.
Keep the Tootsie Rolls and the candy corn.
You don't like Tootsie Rolls?
No.
That was telling us that we're done.
Oh, okay.
I forgot to hit the button. It's been a day. So, you know, just it's all about prevention, and burn ban this month and next month.
Yep. Let's stay green. Let's keep the rain coming. We'll be good.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much for coming and chatting with us.
Yes, thank you.
That was Chief Brian Rafferty with Holmes Fire District 1. We're going to take a quick moment like the computer wanted to and be into hometown news.